Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Movement, a running podcast with our very own in-house running expert, Dr. Rajat Chauhan. We are on to the 23rd episode. Welcome, Dr. Chauhan.
Thank you, ma'am. And welcome back to all the runners. Well done to everyone who ran the half marathon last Sunday in Delhi.
Right. So we begin with the first question from Malik Arjun Singh from Mumbai, who's asking how much vitamin D should a runner take?
Okay, so as much as runners think that they spend a lot of time outdoors in the sun, so vitamin D should be catered to and all that, I'm finding it very, very high numbers of runners to be low in vitamin D. So when we do blood tests, the reason is that amount of sun exposure is not ample. As much as they're getting more exposure than the person who's not running, but it's still not enough as compared to, you know, the excessive amounts of times that they're spending indoors.
Right.
Things like air conditioners have become necessity rather than a luxury as compared to, you know, two decades ago. So that's one very important thing. Second is transport. Again, cars just everywhere. So I would actually say all runners out there to, you know, get a blood test done. See how, what is the vitamin D like. And based on that, there are these new, I mean, they've been around for a while, but 60,000 international units, capsules that come. They could be in capsule forms, they could be in sachet forms, to be taken based on how low they are. Normal advice is once a week for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But please get the vitamin D blood test done first. It's a water-insoluble vitamin. So if there's too much of it, toxicity can happen. So we need to be careful on that front.
What is this not water-soluble?
Okay, so some vitamins, like a vitamin C, if you take too much of it, it can easily come out through the system, through the body.
Okay.
It does not cause toxicity. Whereas here, there's no other way to come out. So if it becomes too much, it goes in the system and it actually can do some mess ups with nervous system and all that.
So even too much of too having much of, vitamin
exactly,
D is bad.
Exactly. Very, very important to know.
So
it can affect bones in a bad way. So yes, both ways. So it should be a particular range that you need to play with.
I see. Next question is from Soumya Chandra, who's saying, how does one tackle shin pain when one is not tired but is forced to stop because the shin hurts?
Okay, again, this is related to the previous question in a way. First, it is about running form. Get your running form right. And throughout the series, we've been talking about landing soft. Don't land very heavy on your feet. Very, very important for this shin pain. Second one is this overpronation. You know, people land on the outside and then the foot rolls in. If overpronation is happening, please wear the right shoes. Correct your running form. Then the muscle imbalance. For that, we've been talking about strength training all along. So please work on these. And then increasing mileage or speed suddenly. Now, most people, when they're training for a half marathon, for a full marathon, doll, they train for lesser time, but they try to increase the mileage or speed suddenly too much.
Right.
Now, all these are a recipe for disaster, especially the shin pain. Running on hard surface, wrong shoes, and just to add to it, low vitamin D. All of it comes together. Okay? So please look at all of these, work on them. Shin pain on its own, you know, is not much of an issue. You know, shin splints is used there, but it's not a diagnosis really in itself. You know, so look at the things that I've mentioned earlier. Please work on that and pretty good to go then.
Great. The next question is from Varun Khandelwal from Delhi, who's saying that he's asking that he's feeling very fatigued after the half marathon for over 2 days. So how does one address that?
Yeah, so when we do races, we tend to exert ourselves more than regular days because of the atmosphere around. Everyone's running and, you know, it feels great and all that. But also the peer pressure. So both things are contributing to pushing harder. So besides pre and during race hydration and energy intake, sticking to the same thing about post-run nutrition, very, very crucial. Okay, so and we've spoken about protein intake during the 20-30 minutes post a race.
Right.
Or a high-intensity exercise. We've been talking about it throughout. So please do take that, at least in the future events, you know, that you take part in, Varun. And also keep your diet rather than after these races, people tend to binge on it.
Mm.
You know, they'll come home and very happy and I mean, yeah. be happy. Nothing wrong with that. But excessive is not what I would suggest. Eat a few meals rather than one single super heavy meal and then, right. then sleep. Because first few races that people do, they experience this.
Mm.
So it's just about getting used to it. But that first 20, 30 minutes, please, that protein intake, very crucial that you take. It recovers you far better.
So coming to the myth buster of the week, is a more cushioning in the shoes better?
Right, so this is actually a recent study that's come out. It's based on that. So we've actually been tackling this issue anyways throughout our series again about
Correct.
Landing soft.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a recent study, as I said, that's out. And what they're talking about is when runners were wearing shoes with lesser cushioning and landing on the balls of their feet, the impact that they were having, they were significantly reducing the pressure going down, the load going down the ankle, knee, hip, back and
right.
all that, as compared to someone wearing thick-soled shoes and then running.
Hmm.
Now, I like to actually stick with one simple analogy when people talk about thickness of the shoe and the sole and all that. So if your body is a car and if you are simply banking on the bumpers to fix your driving skills and reduce accidents as well, you know, I mean, that's not very smart. So same applies to runners as well. So you first need to improve your driving skills or running skills in this case.
Mm.
So get your running to be gentler, softer. That is very important. Don't be a reckless driver or a runner. You know, fix it for yourself first and then bank on whatever else. So that's a fix for yourself and then, you know, everything else is a bonus. So I'm not
right.
saying good running shoes are useless, but you have to get your running technique right first. Okay, so again, the tips that we've been speaking about all along, they're very important. Again, good runners, whether whichever shoe, they tend to be soft landers. They don't land heavy. Pick up any Olympic runner, look at the impact that they're making. They're not, you know, they're running like a cheetah or very soft. So
right.
that's the idea here.
Great. So after the questions, we move on to the exercise of the week.
Right, so since some or most of the audience would have run the Delhi Half Marathon, I suggest getting back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've been getting hearing in the clinic is, you know, how they got breathless at a certain stage and all that. Now, again, so let's focus on breathing easy. So idea is to sit tall on a stable chair, not a wheelchair. What I mean is not a chair with wheels. Cross your hands across your chest and then put them on your chest, basically. And now start with exhaling out. Okay, so first breathe out long. And then what you'll notice is you'll automatically breathe in long as well. So that whole cycle of breathe in long, breathe out long, keep repeating it a few times. Your hands are on your chest to experience for yourself how your chest expands each time you breathe long in.
Mm.
So keep doing that and do that for a minute or 2 minutes every half an hour if you can. And what this is going to do is, it's going to activate the muscles in the back, because normally what's happening is the way we are sitting slouched in front of the computers and all that, we're not working those muscles enough. And in some time, this will just become a, you know, second nature for you.
Right.
Breathing normal. So please, please breathe normally. And again, you know, don't take breathing for granted. It keeps you alive. So breathe normal.
Coming to the running schedule for this week.
Okay, so carrying on with our three focus runs throughout the week. On the weekend, please, as simple as, you know, as slow as you like, focus on easy peasy slow run where the focus is just on time. Focus between 60 to 90 minutes.
Right.
And you start with a brisk walk for a minute, followed by an 8 minute jog, and repeat this 7 to 8 times. And just be soft on your feet and keep your breathing easy. Those are the two simple tips about it. And it'll last you 60 to 90 minutes. And that is really good enough, just time on feet. Don't worry about what pace or something. And on a Tuesday, run for 11 minutes nonstop. Do that 2 to 3 times. Take a break of a minute or two in between.
Right.
And then get back at it again. So 11 minutes, 2 to 3 times. Okay. Interval training is going to be your speed training. So you start off with a very easy jog for a minute or so. Then run at a fast pace for 6 minutes. Now you're going to repeat this 6 to 8 times. So remember that the last repetition should be fast enough and it should be as fast as the first one. So go easy initially, but then maintain the same pace for the next 6 to 8 repeats. And then if you want to do a couple of other runs in the week, maybe 20, 30 easy runs if you can put in. So that little structure, if you follow, that's good enough for the week.
Right. So moving to the story of the week, so it's about this person who's been doing a lot of training and yet getting injured. So why don't you tell us about him?
Yeah, so it's on purpose that we're not taking name of the individual here, because sometimes stories have, you know, when some people get hurt or whatever, it's a great learning, and let's, you know, let's not reveal whoever.
Sure.
So this particular individual I'm talking about started running when he was in school. In this case, it was the army school. I mean, I was not in army school. I was in a boarding school, but still, you know, we very early, 9, 8 years, you know, people there pick up running.
Right.
So again, there were similarities in between me and him, and that's why this case. He was very active throughout school, got into the army. Army, obviously, very physically, very demanding. And he has been training for 12-kilometer cross-country races there.
Right.
And does strength training on a regular basis, plays other sports. And then he comes along to me with shin pain and knee pain. Now, this is a classical case. So this is the other extreme. People aren't doing strength training. And then they get hurt, and I talk about strength training.
Right.
Now, in this case, he was doing excessive of that, and he's been doing for a very, very long time.
Oh.
And in his case, he does not understand what is recovery, and the human body needs time to recover. Okay. So maybe as a youngster, he got away with a lot of physical activities because age was on his side, and that stands true for everyone, really.
Right.
Now, recovery takes longer as you're aging and becomes a very, very important part of training.
Yeah.
And muscle imbalances happen, and you know that leads to injury. So it is very important to relook at the problem and address them. Doing more and having experience doesn't mean you're doing it right. Probably you become very good, courtesy experience to run incorrectly. So you're doing it incorrectly. Okay, because I get this a lot of times. Oh, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. You know how you're doing it incorrectly. That's about it.
Okay.
All right. So we need to break that habit. And what is the toughest part for me in the clinic or as a coach would be to make people unlearn. You know, if someone's been running for 20 years, how do you make that person unlearn the 20 years of stuff? And then almost like relearning to run is the story here. So, you know, we need to teach them. And I would say, can you learn to move the way you did when you were 2 to 3 years old? Don't do what I'm doing, but can you do what you did? And when I say that, they're like, okay, that's okay. I think that's the story here. And, you know, it's a little difficult to tell them that they were wrong. So it was an interesting experience. And I've actually had with quite a few of them now.
So how old is this person now?
This particular individual, 35, but I've had from 35 to 55, 60, I've had army men.
So basically similar. They're running, they're doing strength training, but they're doing too much of it, is it?
Too much.
So it's leading to injuries and...
Yeah, So because they have no option at times.
Mm.
At times, you know, someone could, again, these are true cases, could be a commando, for example, and it is difficult to tell them that, hey, listen, this pain is not good pain.
Mm.
You know, they've been, they're structured in a way, you know, through the system. It's not acceptable that, you know, they've done too much and that they're harming themselves. So it is a very difficult one. But when you tell them that, hey, listen, just do what you were doing then, that registers for them. Again, a simple thing, you know, in training, recovery is the most important part. You know, so it's very easy to make a training plan. But if people don't recover enough, we've got a problem. And as much as we're talking about the army people here, but I'm seeing that with runners left, right and center, because people are racing every week, every 2 weeks. Come
right.
on, I mean, injury is waiting to happen.
True. So moving on, what are the running events which are close to us?
Right, so Kaveri Trail Marathon is on Saturday, so that's the 26th of November, Srirangapatna. So that's a very, very popular race. I've actually been following it for the last seven years ago, I think it started. So very, very popular trail run. 27th, the Sunday, there's so many races. There are 21 events throughout India on this weekend.
Wow.
That at least I know of. There's this one in Aurangabad called Aurangabad Ellora Marathon. Then there's Orange City Marathon in Nagpur. Then there's Pink City Ultra Run in Jaipur. So it's a very colourful weekend running-wise.
Right.
Then there's Hornbill Half Marathon on 4th December in Kohima, Nagaland. Then there's Oxfam Trail Walker. So here it's a 100-miler walk that you do as a team. So it's a very, very cool one. It's a global NGO kind of effort that is there.
Yeah.
9 December in Bangalore. So again, that's really good stuff that happens there. Chennai is on 11 December. Then Bombay is on 5th Jan. New Delhi full marathons on 26th February. So ideas, you know, either register or if you, these runs that are later in Jan or Feb, train well for them.
Great. So just to remind race organizers to get in touch with us if you'd like your events mentioned on the podcast. Thank you, Dr. Chauhan, and see you next week.